Blog Talk Radio.
Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and listen to us at www.naturestalkshow.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ken McKinn welcoming you to Nature's Talk Show, tonight's Better Time with your hosts, Gerald and Jamie. But before we get into the show, I have a couple announcements. I'd like to invite everybody to check out our Nature's Talk Show website and join in the chat room and where you can leave comments and et cetera about tonight's subject with Gerald and Jamie. And also, I want to make a real quick announcement here about Nature's Talk Show. Mary Fetters, Ken Borman, and Tom Latz are all going to be at the NEC conference in Connecticut coming up on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. At the Northeast Conference of Aquarium Societies for their annual show. And everybody wants to, Ken and Mary and Tom want to invite everybody to stop by and visit and say hi and check out stuff about Nature's Talk Show. Also, we're going to be raffling off some artwork that I've done, just some paleo art and some other things. To help support, show your support for Nature's Talk Show. So we hope to see you there at the NEC conference. It's going to be a blast. So without further ado, Better Time with your host, Jamie and Gerald.
Howdy, y'all. First off, I'd like to go ahead and get a few announcements out of the way. For those that don't know, Ken and I will also be attending KOAC this year, which is scheduled for the weekend, the Victoria Day weekend in Canada. And so we'll have some fun up there, which would be May 20th to the 22nd. And then in June, we have the IBC 50th Anniversary Convention, which starts June 23rd, going to the 26th. Now, unlike normal conventions, this one is a joint production of the Oklahoma Betta Breeders Association and the Oklahoma Aquarium Association. So at the end of the actual part where we auction off the bettas, we will have an all-species auction as well. And so for you fish nerds, you'll be able to pick up all sorts of weird fish in addition to the regular bettas. So we're looking at quite a party that weekend. Not only is it the 50th anniversary of the IBC, we're also going to be looking at adding some new events to try to liven things up. And we're bringing in a special MC, Greg Steves, to go ahead and do his auction, which is quite hilarious at times. And we're looking at the possibility of a betta game. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all turns out. Sounds good. And from there, let's go ahead and talk about tonight's topic. Right now, the topic is demystifying the crown tail standards. Now, when we first started last year, we posted a question, which is basically what talks would you like to see. And so far we've covered betta nutrition and placot standards. Now we're left with crown tail standards, double tail standards, half moon standards, and veil tail. And so for the next show, we will go ahead and cover the half moon standards. And then we will finish it out with the double tail standards and veil tail standards, and that will finish that segment. And so we're looking for new ideas past that. So if you have any ideas, go ahead and submit them in the Betta Time Facebook group, and we'll go ahead, take a look at it, and see if we can turn it into a show. So hopefully at this point you have your PDF ready so that you could follow along with Jamie and I as we go through the crown tail standards. Now, as far as what a crown tail is, for those that have no clue, it's a betta that has reduced webbing in the fence. So, crown tails are a type of fringe-finned domestic betta. And theoretically, it could be Splendens, Umbellus, Maragdina, or any of their hybrids. having the fin rays that are extending significantly beyond the webbed portion of the fins. The supporting webbing around the fin rays is reduced and the rays protrude past the edges of the fin membrane. And the result is a kind of scalloped appearance or an appearance of hyperextended rays as seen in the crown tails where the webbing is substantially reduced. Note, this is not a comb tail. A comb tail was a different creation that came about in the 70s and 80s where the rays of the fins were just extended a fraction of an inch. The good ones were maybe a quarter of an inch past the webbing, and it created a dramatic effect. The crown tail is that on steroids. So they have taken a pleasant-looking fish, done some exaggeration of the fish, and there you go. You get the crown tail. So crown tail is not a comb tail or just another fringe-finned betta. So real simple. As far as crown tails go, they will be shown in 5 classes this year, which we will cover a little bit later. And what we need to look at is what makes a good crown tail. So first off, ray extension should be thick, straight, and prominent. Slightly outwardly curved extensions in the caudals and double rays are desired to give a cross-ray effect. And on the next picture, we see an example of a crown tail. And this one is an odd example because of the way that the webbing is reduced. Notice that it has 2 rays, reduction between the 2 rays, and then further reduction between each set of 2 rays. Now, me personally, I'm not a fan of that particular style, but there are quite a few people that are. Now, by definition, for the purposes of judging and placement of the class, male crown tail shall be defined as bettas having at least 33% reduction in the webbing versus the ray length in each of the 3 primary fins, caudal, anal, and dorsal. For females, minimum is 25%. This requirement must be demonstrated on all 3 primary fins, but does not need to be exhibited on all rays. Now, just for note, whenever you start doing some crosses with crown tails, the crown tail gene is incomplete dominant. So you could possibly end up with a fish that has a crown tailing on 1 fin, 2 fins, all 3 fins, or may not have any crown tailing effect at all. It's really weird how that works out, but we've seen some very bizarre examples in our fish room when we started doing some experimental crown tail crosses. Now, the next is the diagram that you've probably seen online. It comes directly from the IBC standards, which is the illustration of the crown tail types, illustrating the double ray, single ray, and cross ray. And that is a Lucas drawing. Now, the cross ray, if the rays are nice and strong, really makes a really cool looking fish. Personally, I'm more a fan of the single ray because that's the way I lean, but quadruple rays are also possible, and those look striking as well. So, double rays. Webbing is reduced down 2 levels. One between the pair of rays, and the other between the branches. So, So 4-ray and 8-ray extensions are less common, and the effect is almost always confined to the caudal fin. Single ray, the web margins are ideally uniform, and the webbing reduction is equal between the primary rays and the rays with the branches. Cross ray is what we mentioned earlier, and that is where the primary rays curve over each other, creating an X. So, interesting look to it. Now, some of you may have seen that picture of the black dragon crown tail. And if you have, first off, let's point out that that is a photoshopped fish. And although theoretically possible, no one's really produced one that good yet. It will eventually happen, but it just hasn't got there yet. Okay, and the next we see some examples. Now, the fish on the left, that has the X-ray effect, and the second one, his reduction is between the 33% to 50%, which makes it a good crown tail. Now, note the coloration. The color is really good on that fish. It's a nice blue fish that has the black head, which is standard for blue bettas. And overall, color is really perfect. So that is a really good example of what a crown tail should look like. The one on the left, however, the coloration isn't great, but that could still be a show winner, especially if it was showed under bicolor. Now, female crown tails. Notice that these are both double ray, and notice the reduction on the fins. For females, it's only required to be 25%. The one on the right would almost be faulted because of the not enough reduction in the anal, and there should be maybe a little bit more reduction in the caudal. You would have to wait to see how they pair it up against their competition to determine whether or not you would knock them for points on that. The one on the left has nice definition on the rays, as opposed to the one on the right. Okay, caudal fin. Jamie?
All right. So, the caudal fin is probably the first thing that people notice when they're looking at a crown tail, or a betta in general. But they're called crown tails for a reason. It should display the splendor of a crown. The rays should have at least a double ray extension. 4 rays or more extensions can be regarded as neutral. So as long as they're double rayed, they're pretty good. The caudal ray extension can be either straight or curved to cross, which we were talking about. Those are the cross rays, which are so cool. And the spread requirements are for the other single tails except for the straight edge. So crown tails don't have to have the fully D-shaped tail the way that the half moons do, but they should get pretty close. Straight caudal rays are acceptable, but V-rays and outward curving rays in cross rays are the preferred types. So generally what you want is for the rays to kind of be angled. They should not completely straight. And then random rays are single protruding rays. And these are faults. And so, like, you see it a lot. You know, you'll have a fish with a gorgeous reduction, and then there's, like, one ray sticking out in between a pair. It's usually fairly obvious. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes you have to look, and you might not see them right away. And then we have the other fins. So on the anal fin, you can have a slight gradual curling of the rays. That's okay, but we do prefer parallel rays that are straight. On the dorsal, you can have a slight gradual curling of the rays, but again, the kinks and curls are going to be faulted per the general fault guide, so you would see that in the standards. And then on the ventrals, the vents on a crown tail need to be jagged. They shouldn't be straight like on a half moon or a double tail. They need to kind of fit in with the whole crown tail thing where they're kind of jaggedy. And then we also have this really interesting thing that you see on crown tails called the balloon effect. And basically what this is, it's like additional webbing. It's additional webbing between the primary or secondary rays. And so it basically looks like the fish is wearing parachute pants, only much less 80s and much more cool. So on the caudal, this is actually called ballock. And these rays are going to be triangularly shaped, or the webbing is going to be triangularly shaped. It's really hard to kind of emphasize this in photos. It kind of, you really have to see it to appreciate it. And it's basically, it's really interesting, you know, but it's not necessarily a preferred characteristic. If it shows up, it's not going to necessarily be faulted, but it's not something that you would, like, super, super want. Then the next slide is going to be an illustration of a balloon crown tail. And you can see there are little lines that point out some of the ballock effect and some of the balloon effect where the extra rays are. And it really is kind of cool when they're swimming. It's not quite as extreme as like a rose tail on a half moon, but it's a pretty interesting effect. They kind of look like almost like little kind of almost tissue paper in the water. It's really kind of interesting to see.
Okay. Desirable traits for the crown tails. First off, 33% reduction in the webbing of the material of each of the primary fins is a minimum for males. A lot of judges prefer it to be around 50%. 25% reduction webbing for the females. And I've seen some females that were close to 50%, and those can look striking as well as long as the rays are nice and strong. Ray extension should be uniform in balance, length, and spacing. Dorsal and anal rays extension should be straight. A slight proportionate curve towards the rear is acceptable. Double ray or quadruple ray extensions and caudal fin only. And 50% reduction in webbing is ideal and what you theoretically should be going for. Now, just a note, if the webbing is less than 33%, your fish is probably going to be reclassed and or DQ'd. And therefore won't perform well. So you got to make sure it's at least 33%. Now, as far as the faults go, all of the fin faults apply like we have discussed in previous shows. Fin curl, ideally, the caudal fin will spread to a half moon or 180 degrees. And, of course, minimum size for males is 1.5 inches. And for females, 1.25 inches. However, betas should be bigger than that. Color traits, of course, are in the color guides, which we will talk a little bit about. Now, for slight faults, these are docked 3 points each. Ray extension slightly thinning, ray extensions and displaying only single ray extensions, ray extension split slightly out of proportion, single balloon or ballock fold, or balloon ballock effect present but missing between a few rays. Minor faults, these are docked 5 points. Ray extensions of different non-uniform length, ray extensions displaying random rays, curled or bent rays, which does happen a lot with these fish, thinned out extended rays, which also happens frequently, ray extension splits out of proportion, ventrals lack jagged appearance, one broken ray extension, that if the fish has several could turn out to be really bad. Several random balloon bollock folds, and when the balloon bollock effect is present but missing between approximately one-third of the rays, so it has a combination of straight and ballooned rays, that's also going to be faulted. Now remember that all these faults add up, and so a fish with a lot of small faults will probably lose to a fish that has a major severe fault. So, just something to note. Okay, Jamie?
So, major faults. Major faults are going to dock you 9 points per fault. First one is more than one broken ray extension. So this is kind of one of the things you want to be really careful handling your crown tails, because it's pretty easy to break those rays, and you want to just be super careful, because especially if they're showfish. For fish with the bollock effect or the balloon effect, if it's distributed randomly over 1 to 2 thirds of the caudal, that's a major fault. So you want it to be a pretty even distribution if it's there. And then for fish with the balloon or bollock effect, if it's present on only one fin. So if it's only on the caudal and it's not on the dorsal and the anal, like that's a fault. It should be pretty uniform over the rest of the fish. And then severe faults, which will take you 17 points and then also disqualifications. Severe faults, if the extensions in the rays are less than 33% or 25% in females in one primary fin. And you'll be disqualified if they're less than 33% in two or three fins, or 25% for females. So you really, really want to work towards more than 33% in your unpaired fins. And then single and double tail crown tails will be judged in the same color classes as for standard crown tails. They're not going to be split out yet.
Okay, and when it comes to colors, first off, let's cover the exceptions. Now, fish that qualify as crown tails must be shown in crown tails, and with the only possible exception of form or color variation. Like, for example, if you had a purple crown tail, you could show it as a color variation purple, and therefore it would not be in the regular crown tail category. If you had a crown tail that had exceptional finnage, like that photoshopped fish, if I had a crown tail that looked like that, it would be in form and finnage, where it would probably win first place. So, just things to consider. Other than that, if the fish is a crown tail, it will be in the C category. So, as far as colors go, let's go ahead and cover colors, because some people still don't quite get it. Now, we're going to talk about light versus dark colors. First off, on the chart, I have them broken down into non-iridescent, non-opaque. Yellow and clear would be your light-colored options there. Remember that yellow is still genetically a red. And on the iridescent, non-opaque colors would be pastel blue, pastel green, and pastel white. And the opaque would be opaque blue, opaque green, and opaque white. Now, if you remember from previous shows, opaque is a guanine deposit on top of the color, which mutes the color. But these fish are already lacking the black background color, so that's why they appear as being light-colored. And so if you take the black away from the blue, you get the powder blue, or mint green, or white-looking fish. And then you can further stick that opaque layer on top, which can give them a shiny appearance, but not like metallic does. And so the end, you end up with the opaque blue, opaque green, opaque white, which the best way to describe it is if you took a pastel fish and put a very light coating of white paint over it, the underlying color would still show through some. Now, granted, they have the same problems that all opaques have, which is the coloration eventually goes over the eye, and when it does, they do eventually go blind. A lot of people have moved away from the opaque, but it occasionally shows up, particularly when people start playing with platinum. Now remember, opaque can go over any color to create all sorts of weird effects. Now, the dark colors, non-iridescent dark, non-opaque would be red and black. Iridescent would be blue, steel blue, turquoise, and green. Now, turquoise and green, controversial, always has been, always will be. The IBC has split those classes into separate color categories, combined them, split them, combined them, and go back and forth. Now, there are judges that have some sort of green-green color blindness where they cannot see the different shades of green. And so we've had shows where all the turquoise are reclassed green, all the greens are reclassed turquoise, so forth and so on. It gets really weird. So that's why they're currently combined and will probably stay that way for a while. Steel blue and blue are easy to tell apart. And yes, you could put opaque over the dark-bodied fish, but that would kind of make them ugly. But it's all what you like, so it could be done. You're advised against it, but it would still mute the color some, but you'd still see the nice blue coloration. And when I go to the pet shops and look at bettas, I do see opaque over blue and green. So they're out there. Okay, so C2 is a patterned longfin crown tail male. Now, we have all sorts of patterns. So you're going to have to understand what the rules are. First off, bicolors, dark bodied. Well, lack of body color on the head is a slight fault. Exception with the blue and green fish. Blue and green fish, it's okay to have a black head. That's the only place where that's allowed. Lack of fin color on the pectorals is a slight fault. Slight bleeding of body color into fins or vice versa. That's also going to be a fault. The third color intrusion, slight, severe, depending on the amount and particular color. Go back to the color guide. Amount can be slight, few rays, edge of one scales, whatever. Or all the way to severe. Now, if you're actually judging these things, you're going to have to take a look at that color guide. And remember that any time that you judge a betta show, you are required to keep your standards with you. And hopefully you are referring back to them from time to time to go ahead and confirm what you might think. Contrast between body and fin color is poor is a major fault. Slight bleeding of body color into fins and fin color bleeding into body, major fault. Substantial bleeding of body color into fins or vice versa, major fault. Bleeding of body color into one-third or more of the non-paired fin, severe fault. Bleeding of fin color into one-third over the body color is a severe fault. There is an exception there. If you have it on all three fins and it's got a good pattern, then you call it a butterfly. So that would work. So as long as it's one-third in, minimum. If it's less than one-third, you can't call it a butterfly. So, there you go. Now, where are we? The white-colored bicolor, pretty much the same thing. Except lack of body color on head, again, slight fault. Lack of fin color, slight fault. Slight bleeding into the fins, color intrusions like previously, contrast between body and fin colors, major fault, slight bleeding into the body, into fins, and or color bleeds into body, major fault, substantial bleeding of the body color into fins or vice versa, major, bleeding of body color, one-third of the non-paired fins, severe fault, bleeding color, one-third into the body, severe fault, again, exception for the butterflies. If the color pattern is good, then it's going to be a butterfly. Now, we take a look at these bicolors. Dark bicolor, the whole concept there is to get a good contrast in your colors. And so for a dark-bodied, now remember that you could do dark-bodied with a like green body with solid white fins. That would be really contrasting. But if you're doing like a blue body, green fins, there's not very much contrast there. And so the fish will be knocked down. Now, yellow is a good color to put into fins, and so therefore the green-bodied yellow fins makes a really striking bicolor combination, which is why you see so many bettas out there with that combination, with the blue or green body with the yellow fins. Now, the light-colored bicolors, you see a lot of combinations there, typically yellow body with colored fins, or you can see a clear body like a Cambodian. Now, Cambodians can have fins of any color, but typically when you see Cambodians, it's the solid white body with the red fins. Now, crown tails, just like any other betta, once you do something like that, as the males develop, they generally pick up some red in the body. And so that can work against them. So you have all sorts of interesting combinations you can make. Okay, next up, Jamie, the butterfly pattern.
Butterfly! Yay! I love butterfly fish. So, mostly the faults here for butterflies are going to be in the bands. If you have fins that have two bands, so fins of only two colors, the band should occupy half of the fin on all fins. So 50% should be, if you have a yellow and white fish, 50% should be yellow, 50% should be white. If you have multiple bands, so three or more, each band should occupy one over the number of bands. So if you have a tricolor fish, then you should have, one white band, one blue band, one red band, and each one would be a third. And the dividing line between the fin bands should be straight and describe an oval around the betta. So this is the same as for a regular half-moon butterfly. You want that delineation to be super, super clear. And then if a second color should intrude, or there's a lack of a crisp definition between the bands, this is going to affect the severity of those faults. So, color faults. Lack of a butterfly pattern in the pectoral fins is a slight fault. Lack of a butterfly pattern in the ventral fins is a minor fault. Jagged separation between the colors and the pattern on one unpaired fin is a minor fault. Blurred or non-crisp separation between the colors or pattern in one unpaired fin, is also a minor fault. Slight color intrusion, not part of the pattern on the fins, is a minor fault. that would be a third color. So if it's a red and blue butterfly and you got some black in there, that would be that type of fault. Less than half of fin length, but more than one quarter of fin length occupied by one of the two colors in one fin. So if your proportions are a little bit off, that's going to be a minor fault. Bleeding of the fin pattern into the body is a minor fault. On the three-banded patterns, if the third band is less than a quarter of the length of the fin, that's a minor fault. If the third band is missing on the dorsal fin, that's also a minor fault. If you have lack of contrast between the colors in the pattern, that's a minor fault. So if you have a blue and green butterfly and it's not very contrasty, that's going to be faulted. On the three-banded patterns, if the third band is missing on the caudal or anal fin, that's a major fault. If there's a jagged separation between the colors or pattern in two or more unpaired fins, that's a major fault. If you have a blurred or non-crisp separation between the colors,
okay, it looks like Jamie has dropped, you guys. Hopefully she'll call back in.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure that out because I thought I went offline.
No. Oh, here she is.
Here I am. Sorry. There you go. That's so weird. I'm not on Wi-Fi call. Oh, I am on. Maybe I am on Wi-Fi calling. Maybe that's the problem. Hang on. No. Okay. Am I still here?
Yep.
All right. Good. So let's see. Where was I? Here we go. All right. So if we have a non-crisp separation between the patterns and two or more of the unpaired fins on the butterfly, that's a major fault. If less than half of the fin length but more than a quarter is occupied by one of the two colors and two or more unpaired fins, you have a major fault. If there's a lack of a butterfly pattern in any unpaired fin, that's a major fault. If less than one quarter of the fin length is occupied by one or the two colors in two or more unpaired fins, that's a severe fault. And if you have a lack of a butterfly pattern at all in two of the unpaired fins, that's also a severe fault. And then a disqualifying fault is going to be the lack of a butterfly pattern at all. So please make sure you put your butterfly fish in the right class. The next pattern is marble. So marble is generally going to be a 50-50 blend between light and dark. So that's what you want for ideal. If you have between 25 and 33% of either dark or light colors, that's going to be a minor fault. But there is an exception. If you have a Dalmatian with a nice even spread of spots and a good contrast, that should not be faulted. So if you have a pattern that has poor contrast in one unpaired fin only, that's a minor fault. If less than 25% is either dark or light, that's a major fault. If one of the major unpaired fins is lacking the marble pattern, that's also a major fault. You want the marble to be over the whole fish. If the pattern itself has poor contrast in the body, that's a major fault. If it has poor contrast in the body and one or more of the unpaired fins, that's a severe fault. If the fins are very patterned but the body is not, that's also a severe fault. And then if two of your unpaired fins lack the marble pattern, that's also a severe fault. If the fish has a good marble pattern on the body, you're not going to fault the butterfly pattern if it's on one or more of the unpaired fins. If you have an unpaired or a butterfly pattern that's still marble, you can show it in the butterfly class or the marble class.
And let's also remember that those two genes are for some reason linked together. So if you are breeding a lot of marbles, you are going to get butterflies produced. And if you breed a lot of butterflies, you're going to end up with some marbles produced. Now, the mechanism behind that is not totally understood. The marble gene is called a jumping gene for a reason, and it does really weird things to your fish. So that is one thing that fish keepers hate, or betta keepers hate, is the fact that what marble will actually do to their fish. Because we've had fish go out to show that were solid color come back marbled, And so we put them in marble class to send them to another show, and they come back solid white. And then a few days later start coloring back up again. So the marble pattern is not really fixed in Betty's yet. Dalmatian seems to be more fixed, but it's still subject to change through the lifetime of the fish. Now, multicolors, there's lots of arguments and disputes on this one. But the whole concept for a multicolor is you really want three different colors at least randomly distributed through the fins and the body. But oftentimes it's not what we end up getting. So if there's only two colors, both present in the unpaired fins and body, it's a minor fault. Only two colors with the body or one or more unpaired fins being a single color. Major fault, dull coloring or a lack of bright colors, and that should be more differentiation because you want high contrast. One color more dominant over 80% over the others is a major fault. Poor contrast between the colors like blue, green, and turquoise, those would be major faults. Only two colors and one is only light red or yellow wash, severe fault. Only two colors, one is clear patches in the fin, severe or DQ, possibly moving to single color if the clearing is minimal. You could almost send it to butterfly depending on how the clear patches are. I would say probably not. If it goes to single color, it will probably be eliminated just by what it is. Marble patterns on the body disqualify and move it if allowed to marble class. Note, do not disqualify a fish that only has flesh yellow color in the face and chin. These may be genotypically marble, but it can compete in multicolor if they lack other marble pattern on the body and have a good blend of coloration. Butterfly pattern on 2 to 3 unpaired fins. Move if allowed to butterfly class, if not disqualified. Note, multicolor should not be faulted for having butterfly-type pattern on a single unpaired fin. And with the butterfly trait, it sometimes appear that way, that you can get it on one fin, two fins, or three fins, kind of like how we were talking with the crown tail. When you bred crown tail into a half moon, you could end up with crowning on one fin, two fins, or three fins, same with the butterfly effect. Okay, now grizzled. Grizzled is, well, we've argued this one too. Grizzled is kind of like bad pastel. But it's an accepted color pattern. Lots of people love it. And so grizzling is basically where you get scattered pigmentation throughout the body and the fins. That's darker than the base coloration. So the presence of black is a minor fault. If the black is extensive, the judge should consider moving the betta to the marble class. The presence of red is a major fault. If the red is extensive, the judge should consider moving the betta to the multicolor class. A fish with a butterfly pattern, major fault. If the butterfly pattern is extensive, the judge should consider moving the betta to the butterfly class. And a fish with 80% or more pastel or opaque base color, disqualifying fault, these should be moved to either pastel or opaque classes. Now, in crown tails, it ain't happening because there's only two color patterns available for crown tails. You're either solid color or you're patterned. So you're either C1, C2 if you're male, C4, C5 if you're female. So those are the options. Now, the next one, this one, C3, short fin crown tail male. The problem with short fin crown tail female is you can't tell them basically from regular crown-tail females, unless you really know your lines have been doing a lot of breeding. So that's why the short fin crown-tail females get shown in the regular crown-tail classes for females. The crown-tail placot or short fin crown-tail will differ from its long fin counterpart by having shorter fins. Now,
crown-tail... Do we lose Gerald?
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm still showing it on.
Jamie, can you hear her? Hello?
I can hear Jamie.
I can hear everybody. Too.
Can you hear
Ken?
Me?
I can hear you fine, Ken.
Throw a rock at Ken and wake him up.
Yeah. Ken, are you there? Hello? Jamie?
Okay.
Just keep on going, Gerald. Well, Jamie dropped just now.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so... now to remember where we were. Short fin crown tails. And I was going off on a tirade because originally it was discussed as a crown tail placot, and that's what they called them. So I spent 3 years developing a line that had the placot shape to the crown tails, and it was later switched to short fin crown tail, so my fish don't even qualify now, even though they have that nice placotty look to them and their crown tail. So, yeah. Maybe if I show it enough, I can get it broken into a new class. The reduction of the fin webbing with respect to the extensions of the rays must be at least 25% in the unpaired fin. So they're going to have less crowning effect than their long fin counterparts, which are the caudal, dorsal, and ventral. Reduction of the webbing of 50% on all three is considered ideal. This criteria must be present on each of the unpaired fins and need not be present on each of the rays to reach the minimum requirement. So, the other thing to note is the rays must have regular length, regular spacing between them. And if it's a short-finned fish, the length of the dorsal, anal, and caudal must not exceed one-third of the body length, which is pretty much standard for, consider our short-finned fish, our placots, our D categories. So, moving on, anal fins should not be tapered. Mine are. The last ray should not extend lower than the others. In addition, the length of the anal should be equivalent to the caudal and the dorsal, and so that the overall silhouette is pleasantly oval. Length must be equal to that part of the anal fin, and they should not be crossed at all times. Ventrals must have webbing reduction and extended rays. Dorsal fin, broad dorsal, symmetrical with respect to the anal is preferred. Ideally, first ray should not be shorter than the other rays, which many times they are on crown tails. The preferred caudal fin angle is going to be 180 degrees, just like the others, like the show placot, half moon. The rays are straight, caudal edges are straight, rays must be regularly spaced from the top to the bottom of the caudal. Sometimes you get quite a bit of mismatch. Rays should also have double branching, double rays, or foray points. Foray points are tolerated. Branching should not become excessive. And like I stated previously, I like single rays, and those are the primary crown tails I play with. And so my crown tail placots are single rayed, because that's what I like. Fault levels, Minor faults, anal slightly tapered, dorsal narrow, not broad enough at the base. Ventrals too short, ray tips with no branching, single ray. Yeah, that's not a fault for me. Short rays at the caudal edges, giving a rounded appearance to the edges of the caudal fin. Lack of webbing reduction on the ventrals. Fin rays of different lengths. Curled or bent rays. Irregular webbing reduction in the spaces between the rays. Now, note, when it comes to the curled or bent rays, my experience has been the short-finned ones have a lot less of that than their long-finned counterparts, and part of it is due to the actual length of the rays. So, major faults, anal very tapered, like mine are. Caudal fin angles less than 180 degrees, mine are not. More than one broken fin ray, that's always going to be the case. Severe faults, ray extensions less than 25% on one unpaired fin. Length of one of the three unpaired fins exceeds one-third of the body length. Disqualification, ray extensions less than 25% on two or three unpaired fins. The length of two or three unpaired fins exceed one-third of the body length, because then you're going to long fin. Now, when it comes to the paired fins, I'm hoping that everybody has caught on as to what unpaired fins are. If you haven't, that basically, anytime you see unpaired fins, it's going to be the single fins, dorsal, anal, caudal. Those do not have pairs. The ventrals are paired fins, and the pectorals are paired fins. So we're talking the singular fins. Now, when it comes to C4, exact same rules as C1 because it's solid crown tail female. And C5, pattern crown tail female, same as the rules for C2, so you can just refer back. Now, Jamie, have you joined us?
I am back, hopefully.
Okay, so we're down to the picture show part.
Oh, wow.
So, now it's time for me to mess with you.
As usual.
Yep. Okay, now, first off, I want you to take a look at those four crown tails. First off, tell me what class they're in.
Well, so they look like they should be butterfly crown tails to me. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm waiting for you to tell me what class.
Oh, they're butterfly crown tails, I think. They look like butterfly crown tails to me anyway, except for that one grizzled one, but I guess technically it still is. So I was agonizing over both of these classes earlier because I'm really out of practice.
Okay.
But I think in this class, probably form-wise, in my humble opinion, the white and red butterfly in the bottom right corner is probably one of the better fish. He does have, if you look really closely, he has one random ray in the caudal that I can see. But the reduction is really good. It's at 50% or slightly more even. The rays themselves are not too bent. They're nice and even. He is half moon. He does have the divided ventrals. He has a nice thick body, which sometimes is a problem with crown tails. And then I think form-wise, the next fish probably is going to be the upper left-hand corner, the kind of grizzly one. He has the double rays that people really like. And again, he's not curled or kinky, or he's probably actually fin-wise probably better than the first fish. He doesn't have any random rays that I can see. But he's a little thinner in the body. And I always like a fatter fish if it comes down to it. They shouldn't be tubes. They should be fish-shaped. And then the yellowfish is quite nice, but his caudal fin is actually short. If you look at him, his tail compared to the rest of his fins, and that's actually a problem. Like when I spent a lot of time looking at crown tails on aquabid, you see it a lot, where you know it's a nice spread, but the tail fin itself is short, and you want the tail fin to be the same or longer than the other fins. So he's got a fault in form there, definitely. And his pattern is not fantastic, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. And then the blackfish, he's got a nice fat body, and he has a really wide dorsal, which is nice to see in a crown tail. But he does have some curled rays, it looks like to me. It could just be the way he's swimming, though. It could be the picture. But his web reduction is not even between his rays, and he has some kind of random rays, especially in the caudal. As far as color, this is what I was agonizing about, actually. So,
okay.
I mean, all of the fish have some color faults. Probably
yep.
The best fish color-wise, as far as pattern, probably to me the red and white at the bottom, because his red doesn't bleed into his body at all, but his pattern itself on the fins, he's got red bleeding into the white on the fins, so that's not fantastic. The grizzlefish is pretty nice, as far as like his white makes a nice even oval around his body, but he has a lot of significant color bleed from the dorsal, the body color into the dorsal. So that's a fault there. And then he also has color bleed in his, from his ventrals too. The blackfish has gorgeous bands in the caudal and the anal, but he doesn't have the third band in the dorsal at all. And so that's a fault. And then he also has, his vents are not evenly colored either. And then the yellowfish has really nice, like his yellow to white division is really nice, but then his third band is not even at all. So, like, his first band is really nice, and it's about 50%. And then the second band is white, and that's only about 25%. And the third band is yellow, and that would be the other 25%. So they're not evenly divided. But, yeah, I was, like, thinking about this class. Even when I went and was riding my horse, I was thinking about this class, and I was just like, ah!
Yeah,
so
this one's a tough one. But I definitely put one fish in there that would not be in the running. And that one is which one?
Well, the grizzle one, right? Because it's grizzle. I mean, it's butterfly, but it's more like grizzly marbly than butterfly. But, I mean,
yeah, but remember, we're doing patterns, so it's all of those
pattern
possible.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well,
which one of those
patterns
would you toss out automatically?
Well, my gut says the black one, but I don't
okay,
think I'm right.
Good. No, you are right. That's the that would be the first one I would toss out. For everything that you mentioned, that tail looks really wonky. And
yeah,
that red band is not continuous.
I mean, he's
and
a
so
striking
therefore,
fish, but he's not a high, like, not a super amazing quality fish, yeah.
No,
so,
he's not, and he's got bent rays.
Yes.
So, with those bent rays, he's got to go. Now, you mentioned all the different faults on the other three.
Right.
So, how would you rank them? Just give me a 1, 2, 3.
Well, probably the grizzle, then the red and white, which I actually like better, but he has the kind of random rays in his tail, and then the yellow at the end.
Okay. Now, remember that when you actually take your judging test, you only have to get the three top placers. You don't have to get them in the exact order that the other judges do.
Oh, that's cool.
So all you, so all you have to do is pick the top three. And as you mentioned, the body on that silver-red one has got a really nice form to that body.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other two are not as great as far as the body form itself goes.
Right.
But there is a bleed off from the body into the fins, which is a fault.
Right.
But also remember, as a judge, you have the ability to shift a fault either up or down one level.
Right, depending on what else is in the class.
Yep.
So.
Depending on everything else. So, because you like him, you may downshift that, in which case makes him a good contender against that grizzle.
Mm-hmm.
That grizzle's got bleed into the dorsal fin and a little bit into the caudal and anal.
Mm-hmm.
But his bleed isn't as bad as the other one's bleed.
Right.
So, but that one's got a better body, he's got better rays, so you could go silver red first, grizzle second, yellow third. There's all sorts of ways that you could do that.
Right.
And that's why it's good when judges are judging to judge in pairs or groups so they come to some consensus. They can argue back and forth. Okay, last bit of torture for you.
All right. These are not as bad because at least they're solid colored. although the first thing I'm going to do is kick that one in the upper left corner out because his body color is not in his fins, and that is a major fault. So he can go away. He's also really, really thin. Like, he's a tube, and that's not very nice. So he's going away. And then if we look at the other three fish, we have... he's either a platinum or an opaque white. I can never tell them apart. And then we have a nice royal blue, and then we have a black, and that's a gorgeous black, and I'm prejudiced towards black fish. So, that being said, if we look at the white fish, he's got really interesting webbing reduction on his anal fin. But he does have some bent dorsals, and if you look really, or some bent dorsal rays, rather, and if you look really closely at the extended rays on all of the fins, they get significantly more narrow, so they taper a lot. And he also has a little bit of a short caudal fin. But his webbing reduction is pretty even throughout all of the unpaired fins, so that's pretty good. And then the bluefish is really pretty nice. He has a nice oval outline. He's not quite as thick in the body as I like, but he's got a, he's not too humpy. You know, he's got pretty decent reduction. It looks pretty even. Doesn't have the crossed rays like we like, but his webbing reduction itself is pretty good. The rays themselves in the caudal are not 100% even, but they're more even than in several of the other fish that we've seen today. But in the anal fin, his webbing reduction is not even. And then the blackfish, color-wise, the blackfish is really nice. He doesn't have very much irid at all, so that's really cool. He looks like he's pretty thick in the body, but, you know, it's kind of hard to tell because he's black. And so it's kind of a little bit hard to tell what's body and what's fin. His webbing reduction is really nice, but it's not even in the tail. And he also has some random rays. So... he does have really nice vents, though. And then his dorsal webbing is really nicely reduced. I think, though, in this case, the best fish in the class is the royal blue. And then the white, just because even though his caudal is a little bit short, his ray reduction, his webbing reduction is better, and his rays are more even than the black. So I love that blackfish, but that blackfish doesn't win the class today. I think it's the bluefish.
Yep, that blackfish is definitely the third place. And that blue, yellow, bicolor, or partial bicolor was your right to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
That body is just wonky.
Well, yeah, and his tail is short, too. I mean, even
yep.
though, like, it, you know, it may not necessarily look as short because the bicolor is a little bit weird, but he has that, you know, really kind of thin body that you sometimes see on a crown tail. And, you know, I remember when I was first even just starting, like, looking at the fish, you told me, like, you always want the thicker-bodied fish. And so that's something I definitely, it's like, you don't want him short, but you want him thick. And so it's like you look at him and you're like, he's just a tube. He's not even really fish-shaped.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yay.
So you got the blue first, the white
mm-hmm.
second.
Correct.
And
the black one.
The thing is, with the way these pictures are, you can't totally be for sure because looking at a picture is a whole lot different than looking at a live fish.
Oh, yeah, way different than looking at a moving fish. Absolutely.
And so, personally, I'd go the white above the blue, but then you could argue it either way.
Right.
And those both make good choices, no question that black is third.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Yay!
Okay. Now that we've covered crown tails, I would like to thank our audience for listening. And next time we will be looking at the half moons, and there should be lots of questions there because those can be some of the toughest fish to actually judge. And so with that, I will turn it back over to Ken and Mary.
Well, we have lost Ken, so I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. I want to thank you, Gerald. I love having you back on, and Jamie, thanks for being here. The Betta shows are always so fun and informative, and I know that we have lots of people. And, you know, Tom's little girl still has the one that she had, but the other one didn't make it after the trip there. So she's got her original Betta. She has cut down on feeding it some, so it's not so chunky. And, I mean, she's had that little fish for 2 or 3 years now, and she just loves it, okay?
Yep.
But I want to remind everyone that we are going to go into the NEC convention next month, the beginning of April. April 8th through the 10th, Tom and I and Ken Borman and his wife Lisa will be there from Lisa's Lair's Books, and you'll be able to come visit us at our booth, and we're going to have a raffle, so please make sure you check that out and get your tickets early because I'm sure they're going to go quick. We're going to be raffling off some of Ken's awesome paintings, and you can check them out on our Facebook page and on our website, so go have a look at that. And then Gerald and Ken are going to be traveling to Kaowak, am I right?
Yep.
So if you're up in Canada or if you'd like to take a little trip, head up there and see them there at the Kaowak convention. And you can follow Nature's Talk Show on Twitter. Please check us out on Blog Talk and like us and follow us on Blog Talk, www.blogtalkradio.com/Nature's Talk Show. And we're on LinkedIn and we're everywhere. We're on iTunes. So check us out, guys. So with that, I want to wish everyone a great evening. Please be safe. And we will see you all tomorrow night on our green scene. We're going to be talking about lawns. Are they necessary? Lawns versus natural habitat. Okay? So check us out. That's going to be a really exciting show. And we shall see you all tomorrow. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and listen to us at www.naturestalkshow.com.